One of the things that keeps coming to me is this part about our maturing, our growing up. And I venture to say that we just don't recognize the progress that we've made spiritually. I think that we're so hard on ourselves at times. You know, I can be so critical of myself. And what I do is I tend to be the kind of person that discounts my efforts spiritually. I discount them. I think that, you know, they probably don't really measure up. Isn't that sad? It's sad that the enemy could convince me that things that I'm doing spiritually, they don't measure up. So much so that, you know, something happened to me this week. And when it happened to me, I didn't even recognize really at the beginning the real significance of it. It started, I think it was Monday morning. And what I'm wanting to show you in this example is how you can make progress in the Spirit and really not even recognize it. Not give value to what you're doing. You know, if you're doing what we teach here, if you do this message, if you're spending time praying in tongues, it is doing something inside of you. Don't discount that. If you're spending time in private worship, it is changing you. Don't discount it. And if you're even fasting, it's changing you. Stop discounting that. Things are happening, whether you recognize it in the natural or not. Stop judging by the natural. We got to stop doing that. Because I keep sensing this inside that we're sitting here with. It's like we're so much farther down the path than what we recognize and what we'll give a credit to ourselves for being. And as a result, we sit here and we keep expecting Him to do something to push us along, and we don't recognize how far along we already are. So the other day, as I was getting ready to do my daily stuff, I've dealt with this for about 20 years now. What happens, and it's, I don't know what initiates it, what causes it, but suddenly I'll be doing something and my vision will get impaired. In other words, like as I look out my left eye, about half of my field of vision disappears. And what's there is real hard to detect what things are. And I know, because of experience, I know when that starts happening to me, in about 20 or 30 minutes, I'm going to have what I guess would be considered a migraine headache. And it's happened to me for, like I said, over 20 years. And it's something that there's no timetable with it as far as when they happen. I don't know what initiates it. I think it's just the devil. But whatever the case, the other day, I was sitting there just doing my daily things. Next thing I know, I can see about half. So I know this thing's about ready to kick off. So I come against it, as any of us would. Come against it in the Spirit. Command it to leave me, as I've done so many times before. And I went into the, and when I say this, I'm in no way being critical of anybody that wants to take medicine. Feel free to, please. It's there to help us. But I went in to take aspirin. And as I put my hand on the aspirin bottle, I just felt a check inside. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to take anything. I'll just, because usually if I can take things at the very onset of it, it'll make it a little bit less painful. Okay. Now we're talking about, these are the kind of things that when they hit me, you know, you kind of roll up in a ball on the bed and cover your head up because you can't stand to see with, you know, the light or anything. And you just try to go to sleep and just sleep it off. So anyway, as I was sitting there, 20 minutes go by. And the next thing I know, the pain's starting. So I get in and I go sit down at my couch. And I didn't have any kind of thought whatsoever when I started doing this. It was just something that just started because it's what I do. I just began to worship the Lord. I wasn't saying anything about I worship you for healing me or anything like that. Nothing specific. It's just what I do. I worship the Lord. And I began to just say, just very simple, I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. And I sat there and I continued to say that and continued to say it. I had a sock cap on my head and pulled it down over my eyes so I didn't have to look at, you know, see the light or anything. And I was sitting there doing that. And if you've ever had a migraine, you know that, I mean, it can last and last. And then afterwards, then you have, it kind of feels like a hangover, really, afterwards. Because something happens to your brain, and I don't know that I can tell when I've had when it hurts, like the next day. So, as I'm sitting there on my couch, you know, kind of it's at the beginning stages, and I've got my hat pulled down over my eyes, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and it stopped. It just stopped. Folks, it never just stops. It never stops. And I stood up, and I took the hat off my head, and I could see, look at the light. It was gone. I'm telling you what, I'm excited about that. If you've ever had any, I mean, just think of the most intense headache that you've had, and it lasts, you know, go into an hour with just the most throbbing pain you can imagine. And here, all of a sudden, it stops. And I think to myself, what in the world has happened? You know, I spend time worshiping the Lord. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that every day I spend 4 hours, because that's not the case. You know, as the way I spend time with Jesus is pretty much however I feel like He wants me to spend time with Him at any given time. Sometimes I'll just sit there, and a lot of times I'll sit there and pray in tongues and read the Scriptures. That's how I spend the majority of my time. I'll sit there and look at the Scriptures, pray in tongues. And then there are those times that I'll go separate myself to a smaller space and just worship the Lord. You know, and I'm not talking about with music. I'm just talking about where I sit there, and you all, for those of you who've been around any length of time, you know what I'm talking about, private worship. You just sit there and you worship the Lord. And it seems like it's so dry, like there's nothing happening. And you worship the Lord, and if you would ask yourself at that moment, do you think anything's happening? You'd have to say no. Doesn't seem like it. I'm just saying I worship you, Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you something. Whether you realize it or not, something is happening. And I had the proof of it for myself the other day. And I realized, here's what we do. Because I do this. I measure my experience based on somebody else's experience. You can't do that. You can't do that. You know, we've all heard how Pastor Dave broke into private worship. We've all seen, or a lot of us have seen, I remember coming to the conference where he just staggered out here, couldn't say anything, you know, and they staggered back in there. They basically carried him back in there. I remember that. I was sitting somewhere right in here watching that happen. I remember that. But that's not the way my experience has been. I've never, you know, did you notice this evening that none of you just fell out in the spirit when I got on the platform? That didn't happen. But I'll have you know something. Something's changing in me in regards to this. Maybe it may not look like Pastor Dave's experience. That's okay. He has his. I'm having mine. All I know is I just thank God Monday the pain left. Glory to God. I just thank God. And I'm telling you something. It wasn't that I was sitting there releasing faith specifically to be free from it. It's like I just kind of stepped in to a place where it wasn't there. Now, I did talk to Debbie about that, and she said she's had that happen several times through this process where she's walked out of what had attacked her into her perfect health, and she's still walking into it and still experiencing that. But here's the point I want to make. If you would have asked me when I sat down on that couch, did I truly believe that by worshiping the Lord that that pain would have left, I would have probably said no. And the reason why is because most likely at that moment I would have discounted my walk, my development, my progress spiritually in that particular area. And I think that we do that all the time. I truly believe if you're somebody that is as serious as I've seen some of you are so serious, you're spending time doing the message, praying in tongues. Some of you pray in tongues far more than I do. I'll be honest with you. Far more than I do. Worship the Lord. Fast. Stop feeling like you are not qualified to go and carry this message. Stop feeling that way. If you are in fact one of these people that is making these inroads spiritually, stop letting the devil convince you of a lie. Because he'll do it. Even after what happened to me Monday morning, even afterward. It wasn't very long the devil was trying to convince me, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. You know, that's no big deal. See, that's almost like instant. He starts trying to make you think that whatever happened, oh, it's insignificant. It doesn't. That's just nothing. That's just nothing. You haven't progressed at all. That's what he wants you to believe. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot do this and not progress. I'm going to say that again. You cannot do this message and not progress spiritually. It is not possible. If you are truly, and only you know, I mean, you can fool me all day long. You can act as spiritual as you want to. That's fine. It doesn't matter if I believe you or not. What matters is, are you really doing it? And if you are, trust that you're changing. Trust that there is a progression, a development that's happening inside of you. Trust that there is. Some of you, you have such doubt about it. And you wonder, when will God ever use me? And I really believe that in many cases, He wants to already. But it's you that don't believe you're qualified yet. Did you hear that? Did that sink into you? He wants to use you now, but it's you that feel like you're not qualified. And you've been doing this, and you've been changing. Now listen. He may not have you step up in front of a microphone and preach. Don't worry about that. If that's not your calling, then don't sweat that. But what He may want you to do, and He may have been nudging you this direction, is to speak into one person's life. Just one. You know, He's done that with me. You know, it's interesting. He wants you to qualify in an area where it's one-on-one with somebody before He gives you a bigger group, more people. It's almost like He says, here, let's see what you do with this one person, and then from there, we'll go to something else. And I've had the one person. It's really interesting when it's just one person too. You find out what's really inside of you, what's really important when it's speaking into one individual's life. You see the love. Is it there or is it not? What's really your motivation for why you do what you do? Are you interested in self-exaltation or God-exaltation? You'll find out quick. Especially whenever there's a price to be paid for doing this. You know, whenever it requires you to get up, jump in your car, go to wherever the person is, do it on a regular basis. Maybe the person at first doesn't even act like they care if you're there or not, but you do it anyway because you know God sent you there. See, this is what's building character. This is what's qualifying you to go on to the next step. It's simple things. We make it so complicated. We expect it to be something that it's not. It's very simple. It's how you handle His children. How you deal one-on-one with somebody. You want to handle $1 million? If you're a gospel entrepreneur, is that what you want? It's not going to be without learning how to love one person at a time. You got to learn there. You have to start somewhere. So as He's been working with me in this area, progression, how we progress. I remember when I was in high school. Played football. Anybody that's played football know that you do weight training. When I went through weight training, they said, I want you to go get a little book. Get a little book. All right, I get a little book. I want you to write down in your little book all the things that you're doing, how much weight you're using, how many repetitions you're doing. You know, on this particular machine, you do this. Write that down. How many times you do it, write that down. How much weight you use, write that down. And then the next time you go back, write all that down again. And the next time you come back, write all that down again. What did we do all that for? We were wanting to see progression. First time you go in, you can't do very much. The next time you go in, you can do a little bit more. You write that down. Next time you go in, you do a little bit more, you write that down. See, when I did that, I didn't think, well, you're just being legalistic about it. I didn't think that at all. I just figured that's the way they did it. I would recommend to you that you would, it's depending on where you're at in this process, if you're in the early stages of this process of growing up spiritually, I did it. I got a little book. I wrote down how much I was praying in tongues, how much time I was spending meditating in the Word, how much time I'd spend worshiping. I wrote it down because it helped me to see the progress. Now, I don't want you to think that this is you're going to need to take this to heaven with you and show God, okay, God, this is what I did. See, that's not the objective. See, the objective isn't how many hours that we spend praying. That's not the objective. The objective is what grows out of those times of praying. What grows out of that time of worship? What's produced as a result of it? That's the real objective. You see, you want to see that relationship with the Lord develop. You want to see that progress with Him. All those hours of praying in tongues, don't get caught up in those. That's just what's going to help you in your relationship, your fellowship with Him. That's what it's about. You see, the other day when I was sitting there and my head was throbbing, I wasn't trying to figure out how many hours I'd spent worshiping the Lord lately. Do you hear what I'm saying? But what happened was, as a result of the time that I've invested doing that, I saw the results. Do you hear that? But some people need a little bit of help because they're at the early stages. They who knows what kind of experience they've had in the world? They need some help. Hey, here's some help. Sit down and kind of make notes to yourself. Chart how you're progressing so that you can look back and you can say, yes, I have been doing this message. You know, when God says something to you, my goodness, write that down. Keep track of those things because that's going to help you. You can look back at those and you can say, oh, here's what He said to me way back in this time period. You want to keep track of all those kind of things. But most importantly, what I want to tell you tonight, you are progressing if you're doing this. Don't discount your efforts. Don't think that it's insignificant. Don't think that there's nothing happening. Oh, there is. Wonderful things are happening on the inside of you. Wonderful things. I know for myself, when I started seeing some of the strongholds get destroyed, I tell you what, there's nothing like a good stronghold being destroyed. There's nothing like that. Have you ever had that happen? Whenever you know it's there, and you pray in tongues and you pray in tongues and you pray in tongues, and all of a sudden you hit that ceiling of your flesh. What happens next? I don't want to pray anymore. Oh, I don't want to pray. So you stop praying for a while. As soon as you come back to it, guess what? It's right there waiting for you. So you start praying again. Next thing you know, you're hitting it again. Then if you really want to get rid of it, do a little bit of fasting. And that will really, it'll kick it in and you'll get that thing destroyed. And once that stronghold has fallen and it's destroyed, it's gone. And the desire that has dogged you all those years, it's gone. The only way it comes back is if you let it back in. Otherwise, you're free. Isn't that wonderful to be free? It is so, you can't buy this with money. How many people, I mean, you can watch them on the TV trying to get free. Got drug problems, everything else. All they do is try to use a little will worship. What do I mean by that? Try to say no to it with their flesh. Hey, that only works for so long, and then they're going to come back to it. But what we're doing will change the desire. Put it to death once and for all. That's exciting. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I wrote down some things today because I've gotten to have it where I don't, but some of these things were, they were coming to me and I really liked them, so I thought I'd write them down. Stop trying to measure your progress against another man's experience. Well, I tell you what, that I know I've done that. I listened to Pastor Dave, how he got started in ministry. And I thought, well, okay, how old is he? Let's see. When he did this, he was this age. When he did this, he was this age. You know, we're all different. God's not expecting any one of us to pattern ourselves after another person and their experiences. You know, I've had all kind of life experiences. It's gone into making me who I am. And whenever I came to the Lord and came to this message and started praying, you know, it was this process that took place inside of me, and how my thoughts had to change and be conformed to His. And it's all based on what I came into this ball game with to begin with. And each one of us is different. And then, you know, the kind of person that I am. You're not like I am. Lord, I hope you're not. You have different desires, different dreams. And as you pray, He takes all of that and you begin to conform into His image and fit into the plan that He has specifically for you. Not for anybody else, but for you. I felt at times, especially in the early years, I felt at times like I was actually going backwards doing this message. Anybody ever felt that way? Like you're going backwards. I felt that way. And I was wondering, Lord, what's going on inside of me? I feel like I'm taking 3 steps backwards. Every time I pray, I feel like I'm going in the other direction. I know I'm supposed to go preach. Why am I not going in that direction? I'm going back this other way. Well, there was a lot of stuff that had to get worked out of me. You know, I had my idea, my mindset on how this was going to happen. And then I heard somebody like Pastor Dave, okay, I'll just do it like he did it. You can't do that. But that's what I did. And I would pray, and I would feel like, wow, this is going the wrong direction. It was almost like He had to take me backwards and get me on track again, and then I could go forwards. And it's very interesting how that happens. I spent so long fighting it. You ever seen an animal when you're trying to put a harness on it, and it's fighting, and it's fighting, and then finally it just gives up? That's kind of how I felt. Finally, I just gave up. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I just give up. And I went out and got a job and started working. And it was that point when all of the effort for me trying to do it myself died. And it seemed like at that point it just started in a positive direction. And it wasn't very long after that we ended up moving here. Now, 42 years old, the Lord had us move to this place. You know, when you're a 42-year-old man, the last thing you want to do is start over again somewhere else. But that's exactly what He had us do. To relocate here at 42 years old and start again. And but we did it. And as you can see, it brought me to the place that I am right now. So don't ever be afraid of that. If that's what's happening in your life, if you're feeling like you're going backwards, don't be afraid of that. Just let the process happen. Just keep praying. Keep doing what you know you should be doing. and allow the process to work and be confident that at the end of the day, you are going to end up where He wants you to be. Now, it's going to require you to make some steps of faith along the way, of course. He's not going to do it for you. But as you pray, it's going to bring you to those points where you can make those steps. And it'll be whenever you are at a place that you can make that step of faith. He's not going to do it prematurely. He's going to wait until there's enough development that's happened in you, and He'll bring you to that point, and then it's time for you to make the step. But don't think He'll make the step for you. It won't happen that way. He'll bring you to that point, and you'll sit there. Now, you may sit there with white knuckles. You may sit there with your teeth chattering. You're looking at this at the edge, knowing that you're supposed to step out there, and you make that step, and all of a sudden, He's right there to hold you up. But you are the one that makes the step. He doesn't step for you. When we moved here, he didn't load our stuff in the trailer. He didn't drive all of our stuff here for us. We had to do all of that. We had to make the decision to come here. There's things that we did that was our responsibility, and we did it, and it brought us to this place. And I think at times we expect Him to do some of those things for us. He's not going to. That's your responsibility. That's part of the growing up process. Once you get to those places where it's time for you to decide, don't expect Him to decide for you. It's your decision. But as you make it, He's right there. When you make that step, you're going to be stepping into Him. You don't have to worry then. It's much better. Our life today, mine and Debbie's, even after the attack with the cancer, after everything we've been through, our life today is so much better than it's ever been before. I mean, can you imagine saying that after she went through cancer and after all the things, to actually say that today our life is, it is, it, our life is so much better because we have walked so much into His plan and into Him. But it took us making decisions. It took us taking steps of faith. It took us continuing to grow when the rest of the world would have stopped. When all natural conventional wisdom would have said, "You're stupid. Why are you doing this? Just give up. Go down to the first church. Be a nice little Christian. And just make it to heaven." But that wasn't good enough. I knew there was more. And I kept praying. So now you're in Ephesians, I hope. If you haven't found Ephesians chapter 4, look on with your friend. Ephesians 4. The first verse. I really like the first verse. Paul's speaking here. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." I can't hardly get past the words, "the prisoner of the Lord." "Beseech you that you walk worthy." That you walk worthy of the vocation. The word vocation simply means calling. "That you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called." And you stop right there. "That you walk worthy of the calling." Every one of us in this room right now, you're called. Now, it may not be to a fivefold ministry, but it's to something. Some part in the body of Christ, it's your responsibility to fulfill. If you don't fulfill it, nobody else is going to. It's your place. It's uniquely designed within the plan of God for you. So if you fulfill it, wonderful. Praise God. If you don't, there's going to be a void in the plan of God where you should have been and you should have fulfilled it. What Paul's saying here in this first verse is that you're supposed to walk worthy of that calling. Now, how do you walk worthy of it? Well, you are going to the most perfect church to figure out that verse and how to walk worthy of the calling. How to qualify for this calling. How is it that you personally, individually, can qualify to fulfill that place, your calling in the body of Christ? It's what we teach here. We teach you how to walk worthy. How it is that you can put to death the deeds of the body. How you can mortify the flesh. How you can edify yourself in your spirit. How you can be built up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And by doing that, you walk worthy. Your walk is going to conform to His image, and you're going to qualify yourself to fulfill the calling that's on your life. That's all that this is. And as we tell you so many times, you don't have to do it. You'll still go to heaven, just Jesus, the Lord of your life, glory to God. This is the person that's not satisfied with just barely making it to heaven. That's why you're here. You don't want to just barely make it to heaven. You want to fulfill that place, the calling that is placed on your life. And the way you do it, by walking worthy. How do you do that? Qualifying. By going through this process of edification, mortification, having your mind renewed with the Word of God, you're going to walk worthy of that calling. Let's go on. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Let's stop there. The grace according to the measure of the gift. Grace. How are you going to fulfill this calling that He's called you to? How are you going to do it? He's already supplied you with the grace to do it. That measure that you need to fulfill the calling that's on your life. That's why I can't do what Pastor Dave does. The grace necessary for him to do it, he's got it. So for me to get myself all upset because I see what he's doing and I try to do it and it fails and I don't know why. Hey, he's got the grace for it, not me. I've got the grace for my call. I've got that measure. All I have to do is fulfill that. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Hey, we should applaud each other when we see one another excelling in their calling. Let's applaud them, because as they do their part and as another person does their part, we all grow together and His body grows and develops. That's what it's about. It's not about one person being the big cheese. That's not it. So when somebody begins to excel in doing this, hey, that's just, I'm happy for them. Because that is somebody that I can look at and think, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too. You know? If they can do, that's what I've done with Pastor Dave. Hey, I've watched him. You remember, he's the one that'll tell you in the first few years or the first few opportunities to preach, he'd stand up. He couldn't put two words together. See, does that give you great hope if you're a preacher? Oh, yeah. And look at him now. He got overhealed. But that, see what I'm saying? We look at people like that and we can be encouraged by their experiences, especially people that are doing what we're teaching here, and you see the result. My goodness, I look at Gary's life. I watch him. I see the experiences that he's had. That encourages me. It gives me great hope because, like he said, he's just a plain, regular guy. And yet he has seen tremendous revelation, knowledge as he's done what is being taught here. That has to give you so much encouragement to know that if a regular guy like Gary, me, Alan, Pastor Dave can do this and revelation knowledge can flow, you can see miracles happening, then what's available for you? The same thing if you'll just do what we've done, follow in the example. Don't try to match the calling, but just follow the example. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues when you don't feel like praying in tongues. Here's a good measuring stick for you. Whatever it is that you're wondering about as far as, I wonder how I've progressed in that area. A good way to find out is to put yourself in a situation where you're doing it and ask your flesh how it likes it. For example, if you're wondering how you're doing in the fasting department, give up food for a day and ask your flesh if it likes it. Ask your flesh if it, just see if it'll even let you do it. Sometimes people can't even make it a whole day or even one meal. And it's because their flesh won't let them. It's because they haven't made any kind of inroads in that area. I'm not telling you to go on a 40-day fast or a 20-day fast or a 10-day fast. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is you can test and find out where that flesh is at just by putting it under pressure. You'll find out real quick. Go without food a little bit and you'll find out where that flesh is at. It'll rise up and tell you, I want some food and I want it now. And you'll get in the car and run down to McDonald's and get something. It's a series of saying no to it. That's what really I'm finding fasting's about. Being able to constantly say no. Tell it no. It wants something to eat, tell it no. And you'll find out where you are in your growing up process by how well you can say no. If you can't say no very well, guess what? You're not very far along in that area. The proof's in the pudding. That's just the way it is. All I'm saying is that you've got to put pressure on that flesh. And the best way to find out where you are in this process is by doing the very thing that, let's say that you don't want to do. For example, confessing the word. That's one area I've found out lately that I have let down a little bit, is that area, confessing the word. And I've picked up the scriptures to start confessing them. I'm telling you what, my flesh fought me. It fought me. That flesh had already started getting thick again in that area, and it fought me. So what am I going to do? Am I going to let it win? No. I've got to pick it up. I've got to do it, no matter how much it fights me. If you've been out of praying in tongues for a while, I know that never happens. But let's just say that you haven't prayed in tongues for any length of time, for a month or so, or 2 months, or 6 months, or 8 months. Time to put some pressure on that flesh. Sit down and start doing it. I did this with somebody. I think they were shocked when I did it. I went over to their house. They were struggling with some some substance issues. So I went over to their house and I said, come back over here. Let's sit down. Let's just start praying in tongues a little bit. For me, that's no big deal. We'll just go sit down and start praying in tongues. I didn't realize at that moment that was like monumental for that person. Who knew? I mean, we're just praying in tongues. There's no big deal about that. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, I said, let's worship the Lord a little while. So we worshiped the Lord about 15 minutes. Who knew that the person was like, that was like life-changing. Not for me. I mean, I do this all the time. But for them, it was. So you want to ask yourself, how far am I in this process? Where am I at? How am I in the area of confession? How am I in the area of praying in tongues? Am I doing it or am I just fooling myself? There was a story I heard on a tape once. Not somebody from this church. So I can say this story. I won't give any names because I don't know the names. But this person had convinced the pastor that he prayed in tongues all the time. I pray in tongues. He just asked me. I pray in tongues all the time. Okay. Well, they happened to be working together. So, you know, the day starts. They go down to the gas station. They go in. He gets him a Pepsi. I'll never forget the guy's diet. It was crazy. Pepsi in the morning with a honey bun. Pepsi and a honey bun. That's how the guy starts his day out. So he goes in. He gets his Pepsi and his honey bun. And he's talking with the guy all day long. He's talking with the guy. And the guy that he was talking to was the pastor. And the pastor's finally starting to figure out, this guy doesn't pray at all. He says he does. He says he prays all the time. And no, let's see, in the morning he stops at the gas station where we get the honey bun, get the Pepsi. And the rest of the day he's talking all day long. I don't ever see the guy praying. But if you asked him, he'd say, oh yeah, I pray all the time. Well, you might think you are, but are you really? How much time each day are you spending sitting there doing the basics? Because we can kid ourselves. You can think you're doing it. You can think that you're confessing the word. You can think you're spending time meditating, assimilating the word. But are you really doing it? Because when you really do it, then you really see the change. And I believe a lot of you are, but I think that there are some times that we kind of con ourselves, I think. We think we're doing it, but we're really not. I'll just leave that right there. So I'll go back to Ephesians here. Ephesians 4. Let's go down to, we read verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Let's go down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, if you look at verse 12, sometimes I think that when they added the punctuation, they didn't do us any favors. When you read this, every one of these statements is building on the next statement. So let's read it like that. So this is the reason for the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. They've been given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, each one of those statements is building on the next. So you start off again there. For the perfecting of the saints. And I could almost say it like this, to do the work of the ministry. So ultimately, the body of Christ is edified. That's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. It's not about anything else. It's not about what so many people get their lives all burdened down with. It's about this, for the edification of the body of Christ, so that one day we can get out of here and go to be with Him. Isn't that what we're aiming for? Isn't that what the objective is? That we can finally wrap this thing up and go on home to be with Him. But we don't think that way because we're surrounded by this world every day. And our mind gets so wrapped up in the affairs of this life. And we're told not to do that. But we do it anyway. And it's not about trying to wrap this up and get out of here. It's about paying the bills. It's about feeding ourselves, about putting a roof over. And those are important. I'm not saying that that's not important. But what I'm saying is, when the ultimate objective isn't getting out of here, when the ultimate objective is not wrapping this all up and going to be with Jesus, if we get the ultimate objective on something in this world, then we've missed it. We've missed it. We have to stay focused on why He left us here. It wasn't to accumulate things in this world. Things are nice. But see, the world would have you believe that that is why you're here. And it's not. The world's going in a completely opposite direction. So what we have to do is continually remind ourselves why we are here. What is the objective? Why did you leave me here in this fallen world? It wasn't to accumulate things. It wasn't to think like the people of this world. It wasn't to act like the people of this world. It wasn't anything about being like them. It's about getting them converted and joining the family. That's the ultimate. Now, yeah, don't forget your responsibilities. You're not going to grow spiritually and forget about your responsibilities. That's not going to happen. You're going to continue to take care of the things you're supposed to take care of. But you can never lose sight of why you're here. You cannot lose sight of the ultimate goal is getting somebody saved. Affecting somebody's life for eternity. I was asking Debbie this today. We were walking our dog. And I said, you know, how many people, and this is really sad to me as a teacher especially, but how many people, if they were pressed, I mean really pressed, I'm talking about a Christian, really pressed to lead somebody to Jesus. Here you've got somebody that's not saved, and you have to lead them to Jesus. How many people could do it? How many people couldn't do it? That's sad. And you think about how, you know, whenever I got saved, I think about the invitation and what they said, and I don't think they even understood it, quite honestly. But you know in this place what it means to be born again. You know that. And you ought to be able to walk somebody through the simplest prayer of salvation. I hope you can. If you can't, go home and look at Romans 10, 9 and 10 and start figuring out what would I say to somebody if I wanted to lead them to Jesus. Isn't it sad that the most basic thing, how to get somebody saved, and you talk about it and people, they freeze up. And they don't really know how to do it. I remember when I first started in the ministry, I thought, I wonder if there's a, of something here in the Bible somewhere that, you know, like a prayer of getting saved or something. No, there's not. There's not that. That's not in there. Isn't it sad? So simple. And that should tell you, if we can't understand that, what kind of misunderstandings are present right now in the body of Christ? Think about it. The body of Christ, we as a whole, can't even get somebody saved because they don't understand the process. What other, I mean, if that's the simplest thing, and they can't get that right, what other misconceptions are there? No wonder people don't believe the Holy Ghost is for today. No wonder people don't believe tongues is for today. They can't even get somebody saved. Sad. All right, I'll get off of that and go something else. All right. Look at verse 12 again. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure. Now look at that word measure. Didn't we say that word measure already once? If you go back, you can see where we've talked about the measure in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then go back over to verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All that he's saying in those verses, starting off talking about the fivefold ministry, talking about the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, all the way up till he talks about the fullness of the stature of Christ. He's saying in a perfect situation, this is what God expects the fivefold ministry to do. The fivefold ministry should be bringing about the edifying of the body of Christ. And we should be walking in the fullness of the stature, the measure of Christ. We should be walking in that. That's the perfect scenario here. I'll read that exactly as it says. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till I, individually, am fulfilling that measure till its fullest. Till I walk in that fullness of the stature of Christ myself, in the measure that I have, I am fulfilling in the body of Christ the portion of His body that's my responsibility to fulfill. As I do that, as I fulfill that place and you fulfill yours, the ultimate objective is the body of Christ as a whole is edified. That's what we're about. The edification of the body of Christ. So you're doing your part and I'm doing my part. I'm growing. You're growing. And that all together we're seeing the body of Christ maturing. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That growing up process, there he's mentioning it again. Growing up into Him. I just think it's something that I keep hearing inside. Right now, particularly, as we go into this new year, I think that He wants you to recognize where you're at in this whole process. Recognize where you've grown to and see where He wants you to go next. I love this time of the year. I know it's cold, it's gray outside. It's a great time to fast because you're not going to do anything else. Go fast, particularly right now. The reason I say that is because I believe that He wants to show us what is just ahead of us that He wants us to walk into. And I really believe that it would be to your advantage to find out. I want to know. I'll be honest with you, this is some of the easiest fasting I've done. It really is. And I don't know why. There's some reason that He wants me to fast. There's some reason that He wants me to see that there's something just ahead of us. And I really believe that He wants you to know individually where you are. Recognize that you've progressed. Recognize that. It's so important that you see that. That you don't see yourself as that child anymore. That you recognize that if you've done this, that you're grown past that. You know, you can, have you ever seen somebody that's immature? You know, they should have been, they should have acted their age. You know, they got a, here's a 20-year-old person acting like a teenager, like a 15, 16-year-old, because they never did the things necessary to grow up. They never matured like they were supposed to. They stayed that immature person. And all the time, all they had to do was just apply themselves and they could grow up. Well, I think that the converse is the case here. You're actually grown up, but you don't recognize it. I just keep seeing that inside. That there's some of us here that just don't recognize where we have progressed to. We don't see ourselves the mature person that we should spiritually. Now, if I'm not talking to you, if you're not doing any of the things to grow up, then forget what I'm saying. But if you're doing it, recognize that's me that He's talking to. See who you are, who you've become. Because where He wants to take you, where He wants us to go, I should say, next 6 months, I truly believe that we're going to see things this year that we've never even thought about seeing before. Good and bad. And I think you need to be prepared for that. You need to be ready. And you need to be expecting Him to use you. Look for the opportunities. Look for the people that He brings into your life that He wants you to pour yourself into. Look for them, because I want you to know that they're there if you look. And if you're expecting that to happen, He's going to bring them because, hey, there's a whole world that needs help. And you're just the person that He wants to use to help them. So look for the opportunities. Open your heart up to Him. You know, at first it's not fun. It may never be fun. I don't know. But especially whenever the people, they put a wall up. They don't let you in. And yet you just sit there and love them. And you keep doing what you know you're supposed to do to minister to them. Sharing Jesus with them. You keep sharing Jesus with them. And I'm going to tell you, before long, you're going to see that wall come down. Because when they see the true love of Jesus, who doesn't want that? When they see that you don't have any ulterior motives, that all you're doing is you're there to love them, when they see that, they're gonna receive what you have for them. So I want to challenge you to look for those times. You know, we sit here and we have this sign, Tulsa is in revival. I want you to start expecting to see the signs of revival. Start expecting this. And realize that it may not be how you expected it to be. It may just happen a little bit here and a little bit there. But I want you to look. I want you to look for the people that you can influence for the kingdom of God. Let's go on here. Just about finished. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted with that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure, there's that word measure, of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And I'm going to stop there. See, when you add your part, and I add my measure, and everybody adds their measure, the body gets edified. The body gets built up. If you're falling down on the job, we all feel it. Because I can't do what you do. I can't fill your role. That's yours. Your spot, it's your spot to fill. I can't fill it. Nobody else can. Nobody else has the grace to. But you do. You have the grace to do it. I just want you to think about that. You have the grace to do it. I don't feel it. I don't feel like I have it. Well, either you're wrong or the scripture's wrong. And I'm going to choose the scripture not being wrong. So you have the grace to fulfill it. And it's just a matter of you stepping up, doing what you know to do, and fulfilling that place. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Would y'all stand up with me? Thank you, Jesus. I wrote a couple more things down. I'm going to read these real quick. I like this one. The objective at the end is not to show Jesus your prayer schedule. That's not the objective. Your prayer schedule is not the objective. It is the fellowship that grows out of the time that you spend with Him. I hope that of anything that I've said, the one thing that I hope sinks in is that the lie that the devil has told some of you, whoever you are, that lie that he's tried to use to convince you that you're not progressing, that you're not getting anywhere in this, and all the time you're praying, you're meditating the Word. If there's nothing else that you hear, hear this. You are growing. You are changing. You're not the same person that you used to be. Don't listen to his lies. Don't do it. Don't do it. Recognize who you are. Recognize the progress that you've made to get you to this place. You may not be at the place that you want to be, but you're not where you used to be. You're not that same old person that you were that walked in here however many years ago. You're changed. You've changed. You've grown. You've developed. Recognize that. Appreciate that. and expect Him to use you at the place that you're at right now. Don't think in your mind that He can't use you until some other point down the road. Realize that He can use you where you're at right now.